This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
We did have a productive set of conversations this afternoon between us. There's places we disagree. There's places I think there are truly overlapping interests that we can build on. And most importantly, President Trump very much wants to do that.
All right, so you just heard Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, blasting Russia, of course, warning them against any, what they're calling, unacceptable Russian meddling in U.S. elections. Do you think it's going to work? Florida reported that a couple of their counties, they believe, were hacked by the Russians in 2016. That's an interesting story. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, broadcasting from Jekyll Island in Georgia. Thanks so much, as always, for jumping on the show. If you're new to the show, pleased to have you with us. Lots of times I'm on the road. You get to tune in when I'm on the road now. And this has been a crazy month in between the home studio and starting off back in April with a trip to Ireland. But for now, let's stay grounded in what Mike Pompeo had to say to Russia, because I always talk about on this show what's buzzing that affects you and me in our backyard. And of course, if our elections are tainted, while we're sick of the Mueller report and reaction to it, and the fact that it's just like a jigsaw puzzle where there's missing pieces, here's the other shoe to drop, I suppose, because he is Secretary of State, and so warning Russia that, look, none of this. There was a news conference after the three-hour meeting on a Tuesday where Pompeo met with the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and said that any kind of action by the Russians in the 2020 election would absolutely put the relationship in a worse place than it's ever been. That's a threat. We're drawing the line in the sand. You stay away from our elections. But how do you ensure that Russia in some way doesn't hack into elections, doesn't hack into results like they're saying happened in Florida? So this followed the discussions that happened at Sochi, where they covered a whole bunch of items, and there's obviously been a lot of tension between Moscow and Washington, and that includes their stance with Iran and Venezuela and all of that in between. And you know, at the start of the session, Putin told Pompeo that his recent conversations with Donald Trump, our president, raised hopes for an improvement in relationships between Washington and Moscow. So through the noise of the translators and then the press conference afterwards and all of that, I mean, the bottom line is what Pompeo said, that we're saying stay away from 2020, don't go near 2020. And, of course, part of that is because that whole constant conversation about 2016 is still ongoing. Now, one of the things that Trump said the other day is he was going to meet with Putin at the Group of 20 summit of leaders in Japan that's happening in June, and they're talking about the possibility, Russia's hoping for a positive response from the U.S. about extending the New START arms control treaty, because that expires in 2021. They say they have some concerns which are related to the re-equipping of launchers of Trident submarines and heavy bombers that, of course, the United States announced. So it never ends. I mean, that's a good thing. If 2021 is off in the distance and they want to have a discussion about that, I mean, I would say have at it, of course, absolutely. Now, the governor that I talked about in Florida, the governor says two Florida counties were hacked in 2016, and this goes back to the very beginning of what happened in the run-up to 2016, et cetera, then the Mueller report and the almost 2 years of that. So now what officially that stance is, yes, we've investigated, and the governor of Florida, of course, is Ron DeSantis. So he came out and he revealed that, you know, there was another county, because they already announced there was one, but there was another county in the state that was hacked in 2016. Now, remember, Mueller's report did talk about interference in the election and said that at least one Florida county had been breached. Well, DeSantis was just briefed by the FBI a few days ago, just at the tail end of last week, and he said the two counties experienced intrusion into the Supervisor of Elections network, but said that this is interesting because you think about when you go and vote, okay, where does this all go? In this case, he's saying, the governor's saying, there was no manipulation of any of the data and that the intrusion had no effect on the Florida vote totals. And of course, they're not talking about what counties were involved. But the FBI is saying that they believe the operation enabled GRU, which of course are the hackers, to gain access into the network of at least the one county department. I mean, what a nightmare. I don't know, if you tell me you hacked into a county and into election results and then you say it has no effect, how is that? That the count, they couldn't get in, the votes weren't changed, which I would assume that's what it is. Remember when we used to go in, when I first started to vote, it was back in the old days, not that old, but a little bit old. I'm like that in between. So I'm the sandwich, a little bit below the sandwich generation. But you go in and you just push, you know, there's a hanging chads, just the paper thing. Then it goes to computers. And, of course, in my mind, because computers get hacked, I think, I don't know, how safe is this computer thing? It's easy. You touch it. Seems like it's pretty easy. But then we hear that, you know. What do you think? Some of your thoughts. Where do you do that? KateDelaneyRadio.com. KateDelaneyRadio.com. Bada bing. It is just that easy to get a hold of us. If you just tuned into the show and you have some thoughts on any of this, if there's hacking, you're tired of hearing about the hacking, how do we make the election safer? What does that mean? All of that. Certainly, let it fly. You know, how's that? Let it fly. I have police officers in my family. I have a brother-in-law who's a cop, and I have a great uncle who's a cop, and I have respect for so many of the police officers who serve in sometimes some really very, very, I'll say undesirable or tough areas to serve, and they want to serve. But I look at some of what's happening, and we just had the shaky cell phone video, and this is something we would talk about in our backyards. Do the police get a bad rap in some cases? Yes. Do other police officers, should they not be police officers? Yes. And I've had that discussion with my family. Well, anyway, a shaky cell phone video captured the moments before a Texas police officer shot and killed a woman who claimed she was pregnant. Now, all over social media, it's kind of that common divide. It's his fault, it's her fault, it's wrong, it's the officer, whatever. The officer was patrolling an apartment complex, and this was in a Houston suburb, a place that I've been that's not too far from where I have cousins that live. It's called Baytown, when he saw a woman he knew from previous encounters. A family member identified the woman as Pamela Turner, and the police officer, again, knew the 45-year-old woman had, I guess, outstanding warrants and started to try to arrest her, and that's when it went south, so to speak. The officer shot the woman after she grabbed his taser and fired at him. Then you've got a witness with a cell phone video that shows her yelling at him and the woman screaming, "I'm walking, I'm actually walking into my house," and says the officer is harassing her, and the video shows the officer trying to handcuff her, but she breaks free. He then fires his taser stun gun. She drops to the ground. There's a scuffle and all of that, and then the officer isn't heard answering. He keeps trying to arrest the woman. She flails with her arm, saying, "I'm pregnant." It continued, and she was able to gain control of the taser and used it on him. And then in the video, she reaches for the officer, who stands back and fires 5 shots toward her. So this is horrible. It's unfortunate. Harris County, which is the county there, they're looking into it. And this is an 11-year vet of the police department. All right, stay with us. We lose another icon in the world of comedy. That's coming up next.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Yeah, we had a strange thing that when I looked at him, he'd fall apart. He's a very unprofessional actor, you know.
You did totally break him up.
Yeah. Yeah, a sick man. But I really enjoyed working with him, and as you'll notice, if you watch the television things that we did, whenever I look at him, he's gone. He always just started with a little smile, and then you'd hear him go, and then he was gone.
The great Tim Conway, one of the stars of the Carol Burnett Show, dead at the age of 85. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney again, broadcasting from Jekyll Island in Georgia. Did you ever see him on those old Carol Burnett shows? You don't even have to be, you know, you could be in your mid-40s and you would remember the Burnett Show. My husband actually talks about thinking he was the most hilarious character ever. And he'd been battling a long-time illness before his death. He was not suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's, but he wasn't doing well, and that was certainly announced earlier in the year, but you think about it, he won 3 Emmys for co-starring in the Carol Burnett Show. It ran from 67 to 78, and a fourth member of the writing team. So he performed, he wrote, he did that. He had his own variety show for a while. He starred in a couple of comedies. He was in The Shaggy D.A., and there's another movie called The Apple Dumpling Gang. I was just looking that up. And then, of course, he was the bumbling ensign, Charles Parker, way back in the day in McHale's Navy. And if you go to TV Land, they show all those old shows. So I think even younger people that watch some of TV Land can understand who he was. And, of course, he made appearances in sitcoms like Coach and 30 Rock, too. And he's a great improv master. I had the pleasure of having him on a show once. It was a sports show that I was doing. He was on with his son, and we had a really nice conversation. This was a couple of years ago. He liked the horses, and we were talking about the races. So the family's even saying that instead of gifts, donations, they're asking for donations to the Lou Ruvo Center for Brain Health at the Cleveland Clinic in Las Vegas. But dead at the age of 85. I just remember him in those in the one Burnett sketch where he was Mickey Hart, you know, where there was the mama thing. Vicki Lawrence was mama, and then there was Eunice, and I don't know, spending some time in the South and kind of watching that funny old portrayal, I thought was cleverly done. So we had older stars passing away in the beginning of the week, Doris Day yesterday, and then Tim Conway today. This is a segment I like to call Odds and Ends. And so odds and ends means there's, I think, interesting news that's happening or conversation going on around the country that maybe is not being talked about because we just keep hitting the same thing, the one thing, Russia, 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 the border, which is all important, but there's much more to our lives, and there's much more going on discussion-wise. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods gets the Medal of Freedom. He wins his fifth Masters, and then the discussion turns to Tiger Woods hitting with being hit with a lawsuit after a death. The family of a Florida man who was drunk when he crashed his car is suing Tiger Woods, his girlfriend, and the restaurant company, saying they should have prevented him from drinking too much and driving to his death. It's not a funny matter, but of course they're going after him. The 24-year-old was Nicholas Emsberger, and he died back in December near Port Salerno, which is about 20 miles from the Woods Jupiter restaurant and bar when he crashed his Corvette. Woods owns the restaurant where he worked, where Emsberger worked as a bartender. And anyway, the lawsuit was brought by his parents. He finished his shift at 3, sat at the bar drinking, and died in a single car accident at 6 o'clock in the morning. So the suit alleges that employees knew that he went to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and had another alcohol-related crash in November, and so he shouldn't have been drinking. That should have been stopped. The wrongful death suit is asking for an unspecified amount of course of damages. His parents, Emsberger's parents, spoke to the media briefly, and of course Woods is playing in the PGA Championship. So who knows where that suit ends up and what happens there. But it is interesting because, you know, often we're talking about bars, and I've heard somebody leaving, and then there's a discussion about could they have called them an Uber or something else, and is the establishment to blame? But this is somebody who worked for the bar, and it depends on how I think it goes through the legal system. I'm thinking that it doesn't go all the way through, but ultimately we'll see. It just brings up the discussion about when you know and you see that, and were other people there, could they really be held responsible for, you know, that. All right, let's move on to something else, and there is always something else, isn't there? There is so much happening, honestly. It's crazy. One of the studies that I was reading about today, and of course there's a zillion studies, just like I used to say I was the poll princess, because there's a million polls that are out there, and sometimes they're slanted in certain directions. But I thought this was interesting out of Washington, and somebody said this to me today. Being angry or being sad aren't great for your mental health. Don't you think we all know that? But now it's worse when it comes to, which was worse when it comes to physical activity. There's a new study that finds that anger appears to be much more harmful, apparently, with the potential to increase your risk for ailments like heart disease, arthritis, cancer in old age. Older adults are more prone to feeling upset because their health worsens, and day to day things grow more challenging for them. So it's frustrating. But the people who get angry the most over trivial things, they're the ones, apparently, who are in serious danger. So this was, so you know, it was a researcher at Concordia University, and there was a release that was put out by the American Psychological Association. In the study, they looked at adults between ages 59 and 93, and they did these surveys week after week after week to gauge the levels of anger and sadness. I mean, to me, it just makes sense. If you're angry, if you're sad, anytime your emotions are all over the board, I mean, this is life, of course it's going to be difficult. Of course that there are ailments, there are health ailments that come from it. You know, we talk about attention spans, we talk about rushing from place to place and being tied to technology. We've had our resident, I'll call him psychologist John Huber, on so many times. And what does he talk about? The stress of technology, because we're always connected. So you could throw that into the mix too. And there certainly have been studies to speak to the effect of that and what that does to our health. So I don't think it's shocking to say anger is going to cause problems, high blood pressure, etc. I mean, you know, that's why we've got these shirts that are out there that say keep calm and whatever, keep calm and this, keep calm and that. And it makes sense. If you can keep calm and just let it roll off your back and just move on, it's all small stuff, right? Don't sweat the small stuff. That's all I can say. All right, here's a poll. Speaking of polls, how about the president's average approval rating? His average approval rating climbed to 44.9%. So almost 45%. So that's a pretty big, it's a pretty big jump. It's the highest approval rating he's had in a while. In fact, in over 2 years, according to Real Clear Politics, his average approval rating of nine national polls stands at almost 50%, 44.9%. So interesting to see where that is. And what do you, I don't know, what do you account that for? And of course, I like the Real Clear Politics poll because they look at different ratings in general, and they measure, and of course there's the margin for error and all that that obviously entails. But how interesting is it that number has, you know, that number has gone up? Would you have thought it would have gone up or not? And I think it's split, because it's like everything else. The president has his people that support him and has the people that don't support him. I mean, we live in a polarized nation. There's nothing that has changed. That's why 2020 is fascinating, to see what the lead up to this election is going to be, because the Democrats right now, they don't have a clear-cut favorite, no matter what the polls are saying about Biden or whoever. It's way too early for the Democrats, and there's so many Democrats that are running. To me, it seems like it dilutes it, versus when are they going to, they have to narrow that down sooner rather than later. And the first presidential debates, Democratic-wise, are coming up, and we'll see what, you know, what that amounts to, and if there's a thinning, so to speak, of the Democratic herd. But I would think in fighting an incumbent president whose ratings, approval ratings, are climbing somewhat and definitely has some serious fan base, I don't think this is necessarily a layup. There's a lot of conversations. I just had a conversation because, you know, I talked to the Democratic strategists and Republicans. It's fascinating to me to see behind the scenes. And you talk to the Republican strategists, they feel pretty confident. You talk to the Democratic strategists, this is a top-level Democratic strategist, and they feel like, well, anyone that runs will have a really good chance because people are disenfranchised. But then you look at the polls. So go figure, right? Stay with us.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Donald Trump Jr. has made a deal to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee in about a month. The Republican-led committee had subpoenaed the president's son to answer questions about his contacts with Russia. There are no restrictions on what questions the committee can ask. Democrats say they're willing to include major parts of President Trump's $4.5 billion request for humanitarian and security needs along the border with Mexico, as a widely backed disaster aid bill seems to finally be breaking a partisan logjam in Congress. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he wants action on the measure.
I'm not going to send our members of either party home to these storm or flood ravaged states without some action. Preferably a deal that the president will sign.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Better than sitting next to Dr. Arianna Scholes Douglas, my pal. We've been at some of these summits with Forbes Books and Advantage Media, and it's just been terrific getting to know her. And she has such an incredible story and so much passion around what she does. So I feel fortunate we were able to carve out some of this time because we're very busy here in Denver. So first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you talk about something that's incredibly important, I think, to women and men, and much of it centers around menopause. So this is a big question, but what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions that people have about menopause?
Yeah, I think, first of all, that most women, most patients I talk to have no clue as to when it starts and, you know, if they're going to get through it on the other side. They look at menopause as this black hole that they're going to enter at some point in their lives, but they don't know exactly what's going to happen when they get in, and certainly don't know what's going to happen when they, you know, on the other side of it. So I think for me, and they, even as I was writing the book, and my book's called The Menopause Myth, What Your Mother, Doctor, and Friends Never Told You About Life After 35. And that's in part why I wrote it, because I realized that there were so many women that were so ignorant to the process to when it was going to happen to what was going to happen. And even myself as a gynecologist, I realized how ignorant I even was as I started that process. So the biggest myth I would honestly say is people that just they don't think it's relevant to them. I was talking to a 47-year-old woman the other day, and they were like, oh, that sounds like a great book, but I don't need it yet. And I was like, honey, you've been needing this book. Like, you don't even realize you need the book.
So a lot of times it's the age thing, because you have in your mind, oh, that's some maybe in your 50s, maybe it's even older than that. So we don't even realize when it all starts.
Yes. It can start as early as 35 for some women, because the average age is for menopause is about 52. But there are plenty of women that are going to be menopausal by the time they're between 42 and 45. So that means that the 8 to 10 years preceding that, that's really when you're going to start to have those hormonal fluctuations. So for a lot of women, because it may present as worsening PMS or difficulty sleeping or irritability, they attribute it to, you know, just all of that. I'm just more irritable. I just hate my husband. Oh, I just can't sleep. But they don't understand that it's, you know, they look menopause and they say, oh, hot flashes. And that's kind of what they think. But there's so much more. Not to mention that we are entering into our second phase. And so as our estrogen levels decline, our brain chemistries change. And for women, it's a huge, huge change. You hear about women saying, oh, once I'm 40 or once I'm 50, I started not caring about certain things, or I could just kind of do what I wanted to do me. And in part, that has to do with our hormonal changes that have changed our brain chemistry, which have allowed us to really kind of embrace our lives differently.
So in a way, the more information you have, well, not in a way, that's why your information is so powerful. The more information that you have and you understand about it, it also helps your partner, your husband, your boyfriend, whoever, your significant other, right? Because there's always that thing, oh, she's crazy, they're crazy, what's going on? And I think it's powerful for everybody listening to understand about that.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting groups of people that I've learned now talking to are the partners of women, because they're like, oh my gosh, yes, my wife. We had an incident where the gentleman said, yeah, my wife just came home, she's 45, and she like just came home, sat my daughter and myself down, and just started giving us ultimatums about what she would do, what she wouldn't do, and we were like kind of shocked, but he realized that he was totally unprepared for how she was changing. Not to mention that men are changing too, so it's like a terrible storm that comes together when you have men going through what is very real, andropause or menopause, and then you have women going through their changes. So you put those two together, it can be a pretty difficult situation.
Yeah, and you're a doctor, so obviously, I mean, you've delivered babies, you know, gynecologically, there's so many other issues, etc. How important, though, is this one? Because you've focused on it, and like I said, you've done everything from the hard schooling to the interning, then to delivering babies and to dealing with other issues with women in that arena. How high up do you rank it? Actually, here's an even better question. How high up do you rank it as far as misinformation is concerned?
Yeah, number one for misinformation. I think it's definitely, I mean, that's a great question. And that's kind of what I talk about in the book, is that, you know, we get all this information about our teens and how they're going to change and their hormonal changes and kind of what to expect. And everybody knows how to deal with pregnant women. There's a million books, and, you know, you get unsolicited advice from people, you know, about what to do while you're pregnant. But really, once you finish your reproductive years, it's like, what do you do? Where's that information? So a lot of it is misinformation. Unfortunately, it's misinformation even from doctors. It's misinformation from friends, because they don't know any better either. And even from our moms, because our moms just didn't know. And so we can't blame them. They really just, you can't expect them to teach you something that they don't understand for themselves.
Right. Tell us something that people listening now can do. So there's a woman going through this, or thinks she might be going through it because she feels like she's going crazy. What are some tips, for lack of a better way to put that you should look at, things you can do?
I think the number one thing is to be as aware as possible in terms of your symptoms, so having like a symptom diary, so understanding, you know, where and how your symptoms relate to your menstrual cycle. If your menstrual cycles are becoming more irregular, then you definitely need to be paying attention. Be very careful about the provider that you talk to, because I've had some horror stories from patients, and again, that was another inspiration for the book, is that patients were telling me things like, oh, my like 65-year-old women that their doctors are telling them that, you know, well, at 65, it's just going to hurt when you have sex, so get over it kind of thing. Or put lidocaine, you know, put some numbing gel. Like, no, seriously. It's
wow.
Crazy. So the more crazy stories I hear, the more emphatic I feel about kind of ringing this bell of how we need to be empowered and educated and understand. And women want the information. They don't even realize how ignorant they are. It's like they don't even know what they don't know. So tips would be to make sure that if you have an experience with a provider and, you know, they're not answering your question or they're just, that's just not what they're into, like be able to identify that and really find a provider that's going to listen and really is in tune with that. Because just because they're a gynecologist, I mean, that's another myth. Just because they're a gynecologist does not mean that they understand perimenopause and menopause, which is a shame because these are providers that are trained to help women and deal with women's health, but they really don't understand what happens to women after 50.
Yeah. So in boiling down all this information, I know you're in that book process and we're so anxious to tell people about that, but I bet it's kind of hard in a way to figure out, okay, what are the things I need to really put in here, because it's not going to be 10,000 pages.
Right.
And so how did you go about doing that? Did you look into some of those personal stories, like that misinformation you mentioned, which was shocking?
Well, it actually started with me, because I was probably going through perimenopause for at least 4 to 5 years before I even realized. And that's when it really struck me that I'm a gynecologist and I don't even understand what's happening. So imagine what the typical, you know, woman is dealing with. So once I figured it out, I was like, oh my God, like how come I didn't know this? So I forgot, what was the question?
Yeah, so the question is, how do you boil it all down? And you said,
yeah, I started with me. So I was having hot flashes at night in my late 30s, but I just thought I was hot. Like, it didn't occur to me at all that this had anything to do with perimenopause. Like, it just never entered my consciousness. And then that continued. And then I started getting more irritable. And then the funny little vignette I talk about is, I knew at one point something was wrong when I was feeling homicidal thoughts for my husband. Like, I was literally like, you know, we have partners that irritate us every now and then, but
right.
I would walk in the house and I would be like, okay, I was literally feeling rage. And I knew at some point, like, that's not normal. He didn't even open his mouth yet. So clearly he could not have irritated me.
Right.
So I knew then is really when it hit me. Like, why do I hate to say it, but I literally was like, I hate these kids. I hate this. I was just mad and irritable. I couldn't sleep and just whatever. So, and it was a perfect storm for me. I had a lot of stress, and then I also had some thyroid issues. So I really realized that this is just an area that is so underrepresented in terms of conversation, and we're just so ignorant. So I use myself as really that example, and then I talk a lot about the different experiences that I've heard from patients that have shocked me.
That have shocked you, where they told you pretty intimate things that were, you know, happening to them, or things that were making them feel crazy.
Right. And then I realized, okay, this definitely needs, you need some help. And it's not, the second thing that I would honestly say, and there's a big point, is people's diet. And so that's another thing I go into a lot in the book, is that, you know, it's not about just popping some estrogen pills or, you know, a supplement here or there, but it's really starting to understand how your food really is your medicine. And that's like probably one of the number one tools you can use to feel your best, especially as we're aging.
All right, so take a look at your diet. Obviously, I think it was great you told us about, write down your symptoms, have a symptoms diary for that. I mean, how powerful is that? Well, we can't wait for your book to come out. When your book comes out, we'll have you back on again. And Dr. Ariana Scholes Douglas, thank you so much. We're glad you're not crazy. You're very, very smart, and you have an important message, I think, that so many people need to hear, both men and women. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
fellow patriots. My name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Back by popular demand, Al Zenick is back with us. He is the author of Master Your Cash Flow, The Key to Grow and Retain Wealth. He also has an upcoming book, Master Your Cash Flow, The Key to Grow a Valuable Business. And where we left off, for all of you listening, of course, was we were talking about budgets, and Greg had a suggestion that maybe we should do a different word.
But I love chocolate and cheeseburgers. So how do we make them as tasty? How do we make a budget super tasty so you can't wait to sink your teeth into it?
I'm not sure you're ever going to make the word budget super tasty. It's like it's not a four-letter word, but it's close to it. But I think what it is that instead of looking or focusing on a budget, what I do with people is I focus on how do you want to live. I say, how much cash do you need to live the life you want each month? And then basically we make it a game of, gee, are you achieving that? If not, then gee, what can you do? So you don't make it budget. And by the way, different people approach this very differently. There are some people that, very few by the way, that want to get anal enough to weigh, basically they're looking at every cent they're spending. But most just want to know, what is the nut per month I need? I think it's really important that people still enjoy their life as they go along. You know, enjoy that latte. Make sure you're planning that vacation. You know, life is tough enough. You don't want to put on the fact that you have all these other stresses around your job, the kids, home life, your marriage, and then say, on top of that, I've got to also restrict what I have to do per month to make a budget. So basically, I like to say, let's dream together. Let's pretend this is the life you want to live. How much is it going to cost you, cash in your hand? And you'd be surprised how people, they like that, because you're now, they're talking about something positive, how I want to live. And then from that, you say, okay, this is what you have coming in, this is what you're going out. Gee, what do you think we could do about this or that? And I would tell you, if you approach it that way, people will start to participate on how they're going to achieve their life, rather than where a budget to them is, how do I take away from? So to me, it's basically how you approach it and getting to where a person sees the result is, wow, it's how I want to live now, and maybe I can live that way and retire even sooner in life.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned, Al, you said it, you gave the great example personally, maybe it's Netflix over having all this other stuff with cable. So if you look at businesses, do you find that a lot of business owners just simply miss opportunities to trim their expenses, and if they looked at it, they could do that?
all the time. But, you know, but businesses, and by the way, people also overlook income opportunities too. So what do I mean by that? For a person, sometimes they don't fill up their 401k, so they pay too much in taxes. If they just fill that up, their tax bill would be less. So that's an income opportunity, a cash flow opportunity for them. For a person, looking at how they're paying off their mortgage or home equity line, sometimes getting better terms, they can actually save hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars a month. That's more cash flow coming in. It's just not cutting an expense. For a business, it's how they're billing their clients or customers. Can they get retainers? Can they get deposits up front? Are they washing their accounts receivable? Are they getting, like, discounts, like if you, I'll give you 1% off if you pay within 30 days. That speeds up cash flow. But you're right. Now, on both sides, there's also the expenses. I find that people, if they start looking at those things like the Netflix, the magazine subscriptions and other things, is they say sometimes, wow, what am I spending that for? Gee, I don't even read that magazine anymore. Or things like that. So things do creep into our life today that sometimes looking at them personally can decrease that expense. Same with the business. You know, when was the last time you looked at the terms that your vendors are giving you? Can you shop around for a better price for either the service and or the product that you're buying? When was the last time that you basically looked at your loans and renegotiated your loans with a bank? Have you looked at basically how you're paying your bills, if your accounts payable? Some people, being because they don't wash their cash, pay bills immediately, but they're paying bills ahead of time before their clients or customers pay. That can cause a cash crunch. And by the way, there's many, many more as they start looking at their expenses, like, can I outsource something? Payroll expenses. Can I outsource a person? Instead of a person working for my firm, can I pay them as an independent contractor and outsource that and save a lot of money on payroll taxes? So there's many examples.
So we're talking with Al Zenick. He's the author of the book Master Your Cash Flow. No surprise, because we're talking a lot about cash flow here. It's Master Your Cash Flow, The Key to Grow and Retain Wealth. His upcoming book, both of these are Forbes books, Master Your Cash Flow, The Key to Grow a Valuable Business. He's at alzenek.com, alzdenek.com, also tswealth.com, and on Twitter at alzenek. Al, one of the things that has always amazed me is that if you look at the statistics, 7 out of 10 new businesses will fail within 10 years. Do you look at a statistic like that and see some key or common factors that make them go out of business within that time frame?
Well, again, the first thing is not taking the time to take care of yourself. I find that basically, you know, we're all geared to, as entrepreneurs and small business owners and business owners, get out there and sell that product, take care of the customers, make yourself last. And so they spend time, they don't have the time to take care of themselves, their best customer. They, like a best customer, they take care of everyone else too. And by the way, I did that many years ago too. So I think it's not putting time on the calendar to do that. There are certain things that business owners are good at and not. And so the things you're not good at, like let's say you can't make up a budget, get your accountant involved. If you can't do certain things, outsource it. Get help. Another thing I see is that I think it's a valuable thing for our business to want to beat those odds is, you know, surround yourself with some mentors. There are other people out there that maybe have the same business, they retire, or they're in another part of the country or an association. Find someone who's really doing well and ask them why, and either get them to mentor you or join a group of these people. But I think the key thing is spending the time, whether it's finding those mentors, whether it's making sure there's time on the calendar to look at your expenses and cash flow. I think those are the key things that most people miss, thinking that it's better just to sell, and that's where they get themselves into trouble.
So what can you tell us about your business? We've talked about your books, Master Your Cash Flow, The Key to Grow and Retain Wealth, and the upcoming book, Master Your Cash Flow, The Key to Grow a Valuable Business. You also have a business, and I'm afraid to try to pronounce the first two words, so I'm going to need your help, but it's a wealth management business. Tell us the name, and then tell us about your company.
Yeah, Charles Solis Wealth Management is my company. We've been in business for over 30 years. Have offices in New York and Princeton, and we have clients across most of the states in the country. We're a boutique wealth management firm, and what we do is we educate people to make the best financial decisions so that they can live the life they want now to the future. That means putting together a financial plan and making sure it's implemented properly, but always making sure that you're living life the way you want now. So that's what we're doing now. As a firm, remember I started and I told you how I had problems many years ago. So I've adopted all the things that we talked about today. I have in my schedule at least once every 2 weeks for an hour or two where my internal people produce reports. I look at our cash flow. I look at our expenses, our receivables, our payables. We have budgets, and yes, it comes a little more natural to a CPA, but I will tell you, it's still not my favorite thing to do. But I force myself to do it because I'm committed to making sure I don't have to do what I did 30 years ago and call in a third of my staff and fire them because I did not take the time to take care of myself or my own company.
Yeah, wow. Well, on that note, this is a perfect thing to talk about. With the statistic of 7 out of 10 new business ventures failing within 10 years, what are, in your mind, the most important factors owners should focus on?
Well, I think there are four of them. And one of them, no surprise, cash flow. If you're looking at your cash flow at least once a month, and it's always positive, like more is coming in than going out, well, you're going to be around. If it's negative, do something about it. The second one is schedule a time to work on your business and just not in it. Make your business your best customer. Treat them like you would. Number three, surround yourself with a great team of experts. I call them in my book a championship team, a great accountant, attorney, a banker. And then try to include in that team maybe a mentor who knows your business and is willing to help you make decisions. And then finally, I think the most important thing is learn how to really pivot. Change when your market and customers do or business conditions do, such as there's a market crash or a downturn. You learn how to do this, and the chances are you're going to be one of those businesses around at the end of 10 years.
All right, so that was good to just reemphasize that as we come to a close because I think that's so significant by listing off what you can really pull out of what you've written about the four most important factors because statistics and numbers, I think, really stick in people's minds. Al Zenick, you are tremendous. Go to alzenick.com, master your cash flow, the key to grow and retain wealth. And, of course, the upcoming book, can't wait for this, master your cash flow, the key to grow a valuable business. Greg, I think we learned a lot.
I'm going to make a date with my wife. We're going to talk. We're not going to talk budget. Never going to use that word, but we might talk over chocolate.
Yeah, I like that. Exactly. Find a mentor. Find the mentor to get in on that. I love it. Al, thanks so much for joining us.
Kate, thank you. Greg, also thank you. It's been a pleasure being here today.
This is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.